You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Gus Burritt. I'm one of the pastors, one of the elders here, and we are starting a new series this Sunday titled A Redeemed Community, where we'll be looking through Psalm 107 and how God redeems the church. Now, I've been in the military 17 years, and I've been privileged to be under good leadership, and I've also had some bad leadership. And the things that I've been privileged to enjoy with the great leaders is the one commonality I've found is that the great leaders don't just lead a mass of people. The difference between a good leader and a great leader, you know, a good leader can lead a mass of people, but the great leader, when you sit down with them and have a cup of coffee, they can lead you there as well. A good leader can motivate and move a group of people, but when you sit down with them and engage with them, you find that they're distant, they may be uncaring, distracted. But the good leader can motivate you over a cup of coffee, over a walk, just as well as he can on stage, over a microphone, over in the military policies. The motivation is both personal and in the group of people. And what I love about God is that we see this kind of leadership, is that he doesn't just lead a group of people. He leads and motivates and loves each individual in that group. And we find that that's how he also saves, that he doesn't just save a people. He saves each individual in that people group, in that church, in his community. That's how we'll see how God works in this series, is how he didn't just gather a group of people. He gathered and pursued each individual and called them into his people, into his church, into his community. He didn't just save a group of people. He saved each individual, and then he did more than that. He redeemed each and every person. Because we serve a God who doesn't just save, we serve a God who redeems. So today I would like to, as we go over verses 1 through 3 in Psalm 107, I'd like to work backwards. We're going to start in verse 3, and then 2, and then 1. So starting in verse 3, and has gathered them from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Now, if you study this passage, you're going to find typically two variations in how this is interpreted. One is that these are just directions. That these are just cardinal directions, north, south, east, west. And these are to point out how God saves, God gathers his people from all corners of the earth. And this is supported by Psalm 106, verse 47. Save us, Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, so we may give thanks to your holy name and rejoice in praise. In Isaiah 11, verse 12, he He will lift up a banner for the nations and gather the dispersed of Israel. He collect the scattered of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Again, north and south and east and west. And the other view is that these aren't just directions. These aren't just an illustration for the four corners of the earth. These are specific circumstances which God has evidenced his saving power. And the evidence for this comes from the fact that we find, if we read in Hebrew, it says east and west, north and sea. The word that is translated in this CSB for south in Hebrew is actually sea. So this argues for the point that, you know, if you're hearing this, the sea isn't typically referred to in Israel in the south. So what's weird about that? This is different. It should call attention. What's going on here? Well, what in Israel's history involved the sea in the south? The Red Sea. So now you're thinking back through Israel's history, what happened in the north? What happened in the east? What happened in the west? So that's the other view that is commonly held regarding verse 3. That these aren't just cardinal directions, these are specific circumstances that the author wants you to recall. Remember when you were in the north? Remember when you were in the east? Remember when you were in the west? Remember when you were in the south? And rejoice in what God has done. So I'm just throwing those two ideas out there. You can meditate on them, you can read them, you can study them, you can savor them in either way. I'm not gonna sit here and dictate to you which way you should go. But just know that they are there. Know that they are both good and worth meditating over and savoring and enjoying, because he does save from the north and the south and the east and the west and the sea. And you can be grateful, because that is how he gathers. And this word here, gathered, in verse 3, we find, to give you a sense of the Hebrew word that's here, we find in Exodus 16:4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. Again, referring to Isaiah 11, verse 12, you lift up a banner for the nations and gather the dispersed of Israel. He will collect the scattered of Judah from all corners of the earth. In Ruth 2, verse 3, so Ruth left and entered the field to gather grain, and gather grain behind the harvesters. So I want to throw out to you, and I hope you will catch, is that this isn't an accidental gathering. He didn't set out and, hey, look what I found. He intentionally set out to gather each and every one of us. Meaning that if you're listening to this sermon and you're a Christian, that means God set out to gather you, no matter where you were, to bring you into his people. As C.S. Lewis wrote, when he died in the wounded world, he died not for men, but for each man. If each man had been the only one made, he would have done no less. Can you hear that? If you are the only person who ever existed. Jesus would have came, lived the life he lived, died the death he died, and rose again for you. Because God intentionally gathered you. And that's how he gathers. He gathers with intention. Not because you are great or you're good, but because he is great and so good. And again, what I love is that he doesn't just gather. He redeems. So let's move on to verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the power of the foe. So in verse 3, we see how God set out to gather individuals from either any part of the earth or from various circumstances. And again, we see this in verse 2, it proclaims that he doesn't just save us from our circumstances, he redeems us. Now, the word redeemed, it doesn't have much meaning today. The way we use it, we refer it to, what, coupons, to vouchers. But that is not what is meant. The word redeemed for the ancient Middle East is when you were delivered to a new place or given a new identity. That no matter where you found yourself, you were given a new place. No matter how you found yourself, how he found you, you were given a new identity. That the old didn't matter anymore because of the new place or identity that you were given. Like we find in Isaiah 62:12. And they will be called the holy people, the Lord's redeemed. And you will be called cared for, a city not deserted. Now, one of the reasons why we're wanting to do this series is it's kind of a follow-on to Regroup. And in Regroup, what we've been doing is we've been coming together and learning about how God has redeemed his people, specifically looking at the history of the Israelites. And we've been sharing our stories. And what we found in sharing our stories is that there's always a thread or a theme that as somebody's telling their story, you can tell that there's this thing that seems to be common in each of the events they tell. Like it paints a picture that if you had to call it something, it would be something. No matter, each story is different. Some stories are long, some stories are short, some are full of detail, some are vague. There have been a lot of tears, there's been much laughter, but each story had a theme. Each story had, like, if you were to give it a banner, it would have that theme or thread written across it. Just to give you an idea, when I share my story and how I grew up feeling cast out, pushed aside. I was not old enough to do what my brothers were doing, so I was pushed aside. I wasn't able to perform the way my dad had expected, so he pushed me aside. And even though my mom drew me near, it was to serve as an emotional outlet for her. So even there, it was because I could provide something. So the thread that kind of ran through my stories is how I had value if I could provide something. So if you were to write something on my banner, it would be worthless. There's no intrinsic value in me. It was only in what I could do. This is why I get anxiety when I feel like I'm not performing well, or if I'm falling behind on my tasks, or if I'm just not doing enough. I get uncomfortable. Because when I look down at my tasks and realize how far I'm behind, when I look up, I see my banner of worthless. And that's just one of the threads that go through my life. But what we're finding out and what we're going to explore and enjoy and savor through this chapter of Psalms, Psalm 107, is how our banners are not worthless. Your banner doesn't say abused. Your banner doesn't say widow. Your banner doesn't say victim. Your banner doesn't say abuser, murderer, thief. Your banner says redeemed. That's because God doesn't just save us out of situations. He redeems us. We are restored to a new place, a spacious place. We are given a new identity, and that identity is redeemed. Son of the living God. Because we serve a God who doesn't just save, he redeems. So moving on to verse 1, let us be grateful. Let's give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And that is why we want to go through this series, A Redeemed Community, because we want to strive to encourage each other and ourselves to proclaim not our banner, but his banner. That God doesn't lead a people who have their own little their labels and themes and threads. They're not going through a parade waving their own little banner. There's a big banner that covers them all, and we all fall under. And it says redeemed. So can we be grateful? Can we point to each other and remind each other as we're hearing their story? I hear this thread, how over and over you felt like the victim. Can I remind you that that's not you anymore? And what I love is how God redeemed us. He didn't ignore that manner. He didn't say the pain that you went through means nothing. The way he doesn't just ignore what you've done, does it gloss over what's been done to you? The way he did it honored each and every pain that you've been through. All the suffering that you may have gone through, all the suffering that perhaps you've caused is honored in his life, death, and resurrection. So that way, when we hear each other's story, when we get to be privileged to let in to each other's life like that, we can hear it. And we can acknowledge it. And we can honor it. But we know that's not the end of their story. When we start hearing somebody's story, no matter what the beginning looks like, no matter what the middle looks like, we know the ending. And while they're still working on that middle and beginning, We can sit with them and enjoy and be grateful that this too will be made right. This too will be made good. And in the end, it will be made new. So what I would like to propose to you, going back to verse 3, is that we often try to, we enjoy when things are black and white, and things are either or. Can I propose that this isn't just cardinal directions, and this isn't just circumstances, that maybe it's both? That no matter where you find yourself, it could be in the north, where you find yourself in prison. You could be in the west, where you're lost in the wilderness. You could be in the east, caught up in the chaos, suffering consequences of your own sin. You could be in the furthest corner of the earth in any circumstance. And God can save. And God will redeem. Because what can separate us from the love of Christ? Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is the one who condemns? We can't even condemn ourselves. Christ is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, you are being put to death all day long. We were counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing that will be able to separate us from the love of Christ our Lord. Do you hear every circumstance possible? Is it just the north? Is it just the south? Is it just the east? Is it just the west? Is it just the Red Sea? Is it just the desert? Is it just anything? If you are sitting here and you're struggling with anything, know that God can save. If you're sitting here and struggling and burdened and bearing, I don't care what it is. I mean, I care. You know what I mean? God can save, and he will redeem. So Romans chapter 8, verse 12. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh, because if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all those led by God's Spirit are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we call out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs, heirs of the God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So what we find is that this suffering doesn't have to continue. The suffering that we bear and that burden that we continually bear is when we refuse to let go of our banners. When we refuse to surrender our banners and fall under God's banner of redeemed. So let us be grateful to a God who doesn't just save, but redeems. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the way that you work, for your goodness. Thank you that we are able to bring whatever banners we bear, we can bring them and lay them down at your feet. It doesn't matter where we came from, doesn't matter what circumstances we come from. All are equally welcome into your throne room, where you don't look at us with shame. You don't look at us with disgust, disappointment. You don't look at us with fear. So many other looks that we often find in communities. But we find compassion and love and comfort and joy. So Lord, help us to humble ourselves and let go of those banners that we hold so tightly onto because they seem familiar. Because they're familiar, they seem comfortable. They seem, maybe we feel like we have more power there. Help us to let go and surrender. And help us to look and help each other as a community, not to look at each other with shame or disgust or disappointment, but to mirror you in the look of love and in encouragement and compassion. Help us to mirror you well to each other. Because that is, your community is meant to mirror you. And we confess that we don't often do this well. So help us to also have grace for each other and encourage us to continue to be vulnerable and humble, so that we can proclaim your goodness and your mighty ability to not only save, but to redeem. So it's in your name we pray. It's in your name we praise. Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We hope God meets you where you are and doesn't leave you, but changes you through the work of His Son. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.